Blog Talk Radio.
When I can't find the words to say how much it hurts, you are the healing in my heart. When all that I can see are broken memories, you are the light that's in the dark. You are the song, you are the song I'm singing. You are the air, you are the air I'm breathing. You are the hope, you are the hope I'm needing. Whoa, you are.
And when my circumstance leaves me with empty hands, you're the provider of my needs. When all my dirtiness has left me helpless, you are the rain that washes me.
If I had no tongue, I would dance for you like the rising sun. And when that day comes and I see your face, I will shout your endless glorious praise.
If I had no voice, if I had no tongue, I would dance for you like the rising sun. And when
welcome to the Healing Light Show. Guest this week, Todd Grant. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Glad to be here.
Tonight we're going to hear a lot about Todd and his ministry and how the Lord, came into his life and got him working for him. And it's awesome to hear these stories from these people that's working in the ministry and how God is working through, his ministers and really, really touching people through them, because we're all vessels for the Lord, and the Lord does a lot through us, and it's awesome to hear these stories. But I would like everybody to know, if you want to know more about the Healing Light Show, you can go to Healing Light on Facebook, like the page, and all the shows that we ever do will be posted on there. You can listen to them anytime, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can look up Healing Light, Reverend Stan. You can even search it up. You can go straight to the Healing Light page, and we got archives. You can listen to any show that we've ever done anytime you want to. Put on your podcast, however you want to do. You can listen to it live while we're recording, or you can listen to it, later on during the week. It doesn't matter however you feel you need to listen to it. You can go ahead and listen to it. And a lot of times people have things going in their life and they just find this one show that touches them that they really need to listen to, and it will help them through their day. And, I really push that. Just find a show that's touching you. And maybe this show has something that you need to listen to, and I hope it does tonight. And it's awesome to hear a lot of these stories. I mean, I've talked to, you know, some of the people from John G. Lake Ministries, and Todd Grant, he's from there too, and I hear all type of miracles that happens with that ministry, and I'm sure Todd's going to tell us some tonight. So, Todd, how did the Lord call you into ministry and all that?
Yeah, it's a really cool story. It didn't start off so good, but it certainly has changed and ended in a very positive way, or not, shouldn't say ended, but it's progressing. So I'll back up and kind of give you the story of kind of how the Lord, I would call it, brought me back into the kingdom. I was already a believer from a young age, and I would call myself just a lukewarm believer. And I didn't understand the power of God, didn't understand how to walk in anything at all. I had no clue really what I was doing, but I was in corporate America, married, had twin boys back in 2000, and one of my sons had some developmental issues that were pretty severe. And over a period of about 5 years, I tried to pursue every possible option for my son from a man standpoint, from a flesh standpoint, to get him healed. Every doctor, you know, every prescription, every supplement, every alternative therapy I could find. The Lord had blessed me financially, and I was able to spend a lot of money on the things I thought were going to quote unquote heal him. And I didn't understand how to trust God at all. And my son wasn't changing. And so I had an epiphany in 2005. I was driving through my neighborhood in a really, really dark place in my life. And my son was 5 years old at the time, and the Lord audibly spoke to me in my car. I was driving in front of a church, and he told me to turn in to this church. He just actually said, turn here. And I'm sure a lot of you have had the Lord speak to you. And when he does, it's very powerful, and it resounds through your body. And so I turned into this church, went in, had a conversation with the pastor, didn't really know why I was there other than the Lord spoke to me. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but the pastor said, you need to surrender your son and surrender yourself back to Jesus. Let him heal your son. And so I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, well, just get on your knees and pray. And so I did. I probably prayed one of the world's most pathetic prayers because I had no idea what I was doing. And got up, went home, and within 30 days, my son was completely healed.
Amen.
Glory to God, and just hallelujah on that. I get emotional talking about it, you know, 8 years later. But he started changing. It was a miracle. I mean, every doctor we took him to said, what are you doing to your son now? And he's changing completely. His body's changing. Every part of his body that wasn't working started working, from hand-eye coordination to writing to typing to speaking, even to his body functions. All of them were working as they should. He gained weight. And it was just a miracle. There was no other explanation for it. And so in January of 2006, I Googled divine healing. What is divine healing? Trying to figure out what happened to my son, because I didn't understand. And at that moment in time, I started buying every resource I could find on the topic of divine healing. And, you know, fast forward years later, pursued that expressly, kept praying for my son. He's now in eighth grade, normal classroom, making A's and B's, no shadow, no need any help at all, really. And it's just a complete miracle. But during that time, I ended up becoming ordained through JJOM, and then, you know, pursuing a bunch of different ministries from a teaching standpoint. So that's really kind of the answer to your question. That's how I came into this. That was kind of step one in the process, but that was the miracle that happened. So
that's awesome, Todd. It's awesome how, you know, the Lord finds these situations, and we try to find so many worldly things to bring a solution to our problem, and Jesus is the real solution. But it takes us to run around in circles until we find it sometimes. But it's
amen. That's the truth. I mean, you know, Jesus did it all for us. I mean, he paid the price from a healing standpoint by, you know, Isaiah 53:5 is one of the foundational scriptures of our ministry, and it's by the stripes of Jesus, you know, you're healed. And so it's not something that you have to work for. It's something you have to just look at that and accept that as reality and say, okay, that he died for me. He was beaten beyond recognition for me personally. And now, Father, you know, with your hands in the air, you say, I receive that. I receive what he already did for me. You know, healing is a fact. It doesn't even require faith at this point, because it became a fact when Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53:5 at the whipping post. When that happened, it became a fact. And when it became a fact, now you just, it's like, I use this example when I teach all the time. It's like a mortgage. If someone decides, and I'm sure a lot of people on this line have mortgages or rent. But what if someone paid your rent, you know, indefinitely, or they paid off your home? Well, when you try and send them in a payment each month, they're going to send it back to you and say, look, the debt has been paid. There's nothing else you have to do. You don't need to send us this money. It's a zero balance. Well, that's the reality of healing. It's a zero balance. There's not something you have to earn or do to receive it. It's already a done deal. Jesus paid for it. Now you just have to step into it and believe it and stay there until your body lines up with that.
Amen. Amen. I know there's so many people, you know, that's living by the law, and they're stuck in this thing, and their body's falling apart because they just don't believe in the healing. They believe in, you know, it happens to these certain people on TV, on these certain ministry channels, but they don't believe it can happen to them.
Yeah.
And God paid for their healing. He paid for everybody's healing. We just got to accept it and take it, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, it says God is not a, he doesn't look at people in different ways, right? He doesn't look at you one way and me another. He's not a respecter of people. Everyone gets the same. So if it's true for one, then it's true for all. God doesn't discriminately say, oh, well, you're going to be healed and you're not, or you're going to receive and you're not. You know, he doesn't lie. He doesn't go back on his word. He said, I'm not a respecter of persons. Everyone's the same. And so Isaiah 53:5 is the truth for every single person. It is. That's the answer. Now, you know, not everybody's body lines up with that immediately. It doesn't. And so that's where a lot of times people can get off track, right? They'll say, well, I'm praying, but my body's not changing yet. I'm praying, and then I don't see it yet. And that, you know, the symptoms are designed to get us off track. The symptoms are designed to make us walk by sight and not by faith. Mm-hmm. And that's where the challenge comes in, is you just have to stay in that place and pray. You know, Jesus called perseverance faith, right? So our job is to persevere in those situations.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you got into ministry, or you started taking your ministerial school, what all did you learn there that really changed your life in your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, so it's been an evolving process. You know, I've been moving down this path where I've had what I call two full-time jobs, you know, where I've had a job that is a financial means for my family and for me. I've had periods of time when I was doing ministry 100% and relying on ministry for the finances. I've had both options. The thing that, you know, the kingdom works one step at a time. It's, you know, the Bible says the kingdom is like a seed, right? And that seed gets planted, gets watered, it grows, you know, the sunlight comes on it, the storms come, it grows more, and it continues to grow until it's this enormous, very strong tree. Well, that's what happens in, you know, I believe in people's lives as they start to walk with God. He needs us. He needs us to go do his work. He needs all of us to go do his work, because there's so many people and there's so few of us. But that doesn't happen overnight. It's something that happens over time. And so I've seen, you know, the ministry that I'm a part of and the ministry that I do locally with the team that I have assembled, it's just been a slow-moving process. And part of that has been my own growth as a ministry leader and leading by example. And part of that's been the people around me and their growth. It's been a process, and there's many phases of it now. There's, you know, I think you and I talked about the Church Under the Bridge aspect, which is a ministry opportunity for me and my team. I have teaching opportunities where I teach pretty much on a weekly basis now in a variety of churches. I don't have my own church, but I get invited in to teach this message that we're talking about now almost on a weekly basis. I do a monthly church service called Equipping the Saints, or Equip the Saints. And that is just to teach people how to get activated and actually go do what we're called to go do, the Great Commission. And then we have a ministry of hospital-based ministry where we go into hospitals, rehab centers, 24 hours a day. If someone calls with a prayer request, then someone on my team will be there as quickly as we possibly can. We pray in a doctor's office now. We actually have a physician, a local physician, that has invited us in and given us office space to pray for his patients on a weekly basis. So there's a lot of things going on with the ministry in it, but it didn't all start at the in the beginning. It's been a slow-moving process over the last 7 years of growth.
Amen. That's normally how it goes. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, when you jump into ministry, so as soon as you ordain, you jump right into it, and all of a sudden you get a great big church and all that. But it's, a lot of times, you know, there probably have been ministers that went through that, and the ministry didn't last that long. But a real ministry normally takes a while for the Lord to really use you for what you, I mean, get you prepared for what you need to do in the ministry. And even what I've saw in ministry, even with myself and many other people, you know, I've saw them grow. Even me, I've grown. And you grow and you get ready to be put into a church and put into a ministry where you'll be successful in it, because if you don't know what you're doing and you throw it into something, you can lose it, you know? So
That's exactly right. And that I would agree with you that, you know, the process you have to go through, and I tell people that all the time, because I have people come to me and say, hey, I'm ready for this, or I'm ready for that from a ministry standpoint. And my answer for them is, you know, you may think you're ready with your mind, but you probably are not ready yet. And what happens is the Lord will hold you in a place. You'll keep doing the work. You'll keep doing the work, and you'll keep asking for what you want from a ministry standpoint. But it doesn't happen right away. And a lot of times it's because you think you're ready, but you're really not. You're still learning things. And I even call it, you know, I use the example of someone's spiritual legs. It's almost like doing exercises for your legs. Until your legs are strong enough to carry the load of what he's about to put on your back, he won't graduate you into that next phase. He'll keep you where you are. And you think with your head that you're ready, but soon you'll walk into a situation, you know, a month or 2 months or 6 months later, and you'll say, you know what, I really wasn't ready 6 months ago to carry that. What I tell the people on my team is you don't need to worry about those things. You don't need to worry about, am I going to get a church or not, or am I going to have a ministry or not, or am I going to do – that's not what Jesus told us to do. Jesus said, you go out and you do the Great Commission. That's it. You go do the Great Commission, and I'll take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's it. That's the answer. So,
amen. Amen. That's very true there. And he prepares you on your path. Now, what did your family think about you going into the ministry? Was they all for it, or did they have to kindly grow into it?
Well, you know, it was an evolving process with them as well. You know, it's not something that happened overnight. I mean, from 2006, you know, I was not ordained through JJLM until 2011. So from 2006, you know, on until 2011, it was a process that I was going through. I didn't find Curry until it was probably late 2009. So from 2006 to 2009, or almost 2010, I was walking this path on my own completely. There was no one around me. I was starting to walk in the truth of, you know, Mark 16, which is believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But I had no one around me to teach. And, you know, people like Todd White and the others that you see on YouTube and on the internet, they really weren't out there yet because, you know, the internet wasn't as prevalent. So I was on my own. And for many, many years, I was reading the Word, Kenneth Hagin, spending a lot of time watching and listening to Kenneth Hagin, A.A. Allen, some of the evangelists from the, you know, early 1900s. But I didn't have anyone around me to show me how to do it. And so it took forever for me to kind of go through this process of learning and getting bold and stepping out into praying for people, more street evangelism, which is what I do now. I didn't know how to do that, and it took years to figure out what I now teach in a few months because there was really no one around. So, you know, it was just a process I was going through, but I had no mentors. There was no one around to mentor me or to, you know, to have conversations, to even show me how to do things. I mean, now, you know, from a ministry standpoint, you know, we go on the street every week. We go into hospitals every week. almost every day. And I take people with me that are afraid. They don't know how to pray for people. And I show them, here's how you do it. Here's how you go into a hospital. And here's how you make your way through the hospital so you don't get kicked out. And here's how you go into patients' rooms and engage them so that you can actually pray for them. And, you know, or even walking up to someone in a grocery store. I mean, it's a very intimidating process. How do I start a conversation? You know, what do I do? And I've learned through my own trial and error how to do that. And I see the power of God. I mean, I've seen, you know, cancer healed 7 times in 24 hours. I've seen, you know, someone who had cancer and a visible tumor 24 hours later, they don't have cancer on their body anymore, 7 times. I've seen broken bones mend in front of me and crack back into place. I've seen ligaments, torn ligaments, people take their knee braces off and run around the parking lot in 5 minutes because they're completely healed. I've had deaf ears open, blind eyes that they could see. So all those have happened in front of me now. I've seen all those miracles happen just like Jesus did, just like he said all of us would. I'm not special. I don't have a special gift. I just have the Holy Spirit, and I believe it's true. Just like anyone on this listening today, they have the same power and same authority that I do, or that anyone does, if they're a believer. They have the Holy Spirit. He is your power, and he's the one that makes – he's been – trust me, the Holy Spirit has been at every single healing, you know, ever. The same Spirit has been to everyone. He knows what he's doing. He just expects us to step into that reality.
I know one of the funniest things that a lot of preachers will say, you've got to have the anointing. The anointing is going to be on you. It's like some superpower juice that's put on you. But it's really not that. It's just the Holy Spirit, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. You know, the Holy Spirit is the anointing, and there's nothing else that you need. There's not a mantle that you need, or there's not some special thing you need to pass down from, you know, John Lake or anyone else down to you. That's just weirdness. That's not true. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. He's the one that does the work. He's the one working through you. It says, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, when you lay your hand on someone, it's your spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus working through you, laying their hand on that person. And that's that Spirit of Christ that's flowing through you into that person's body that's changing their body. So it's not some mantle or something that, you know, it's not Smith Wigglesworth's mantle or John Lake's mantle or any of that. That's just craziness. That's not true. The truth is, it's the Spirit of God working through you in power, and that's it. And that's how it works. People say all the time, well, I lay my hands on the sick and they don't recover. I tell them, look, you're not supposed to line up your experience with the Word of God. You're supposed to take the Word of God and say, that's true, and I'm going to keep doing it until my life looks like the Word of God, period. That's how we're supposed to walk it out. If your life doesn't look like that yet, you just need to push, and you need to press in more. You need to press in and keep pressing in until your life looks just like Jesus, because that's what it says in Ephesians 4, that all of us are growing up into Jesus. We're all going to look like Jesus if we persevere, if we renew our mind and we continue to walk down this path, we will look exactly like Jesus. So if you don't look like him, it's not because he's not giving it to you. It's because you're not pressing in and continuing to press in day after day after day. If you do, you will.
Amen. Amen. And the thing of it is that, you know, when you read the Word of God, Jesus walked with authority. And I saw so many believers, they don't have no authority. They don't know how to use their authority. They're like, you know, they'll say a 5, 10, 20-minute prayer just trying to get something to work. And the thing of it is, you've got to put your big boy pants on and step into authority like our Lord did. And I think that's one of the main things that gives people's problems when they work in the power of God. They just, you've got to walk in authority like our Lord did. We're supposed to be examples of him, not examples of somebody who can say the longest prayer or, you know, the longer the prayer is, you know, they think it's gonna add more power to it, but it's really not like that.
Yeah, that's good, and I agree with you. That's exactly. People don't understand, you know, the Bible says that, you know, if you're a born-again believer, then you're a new creation, and all things have passed away, and all things are made brand new. And if that's the case, then you're this new creation that is powerful. You have the same authority. Jesus said, all power, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now he turned and looked at his disciples and said, now I give it to you. Now go, therefore. So he's saying, now you go and do what I did. And then he told them, now you go teach everyone what I taught you. And so You know, people say, well, the authority and the power, it all passed away with the apostles. No, it didn't, because Jesus told them to go teach others what he had taught them, and then they're supposed to go teach others, and that continues to go on and on and on until it reaches our generation. That's the reality of how the kingdom grows. It's through this process of cloning, essentially, people to look like Jesus. And so, you know, all power and authority has been given to Jesus, and he gave it to us, and we got to go do something with it. We have to make heaven come to earth through us commanding situations to change. You don't pray, you know, like you said before, you don't pray this really long prayer that's begging God to do something, because God's looking and saying, I've already done it. There's nothing else that I need to do. I've already done it. Now you just command it to line up with what I already set in place. I already said, by Jesus' stripes, that person's healed. So now you put your hands on them and you command their body to line up with that. And you keep doing that until it does. That's the essence of what we do.
Amen. We're going to go right into a song right quick, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk to Todd about his miracles and stuff that he saw. Be right back.
Broken life and all that's dead inside.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. That was a great song there. And we're here with Todd Grant. Todd was telling us a little bit about his ministry, how he got started in his ministry, and, you know, his basic things about healing and how we really need to look into working in the power of God, because it's for the whole body of Christ, not just the special ones on TV every Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but it's for everybody. It's not just for specific ones. And the body of Christ should be out people, because, you know, that's what Christians back, you know, a long time ago supposed to do, you know, this way it worked. But, you know, the Lord has really taken a lot of ministers out to do this. But, yeah, Todd, I remember you saying something about some type of school you're trying to put this together. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we're in the process now of really developing a curriculum for a school of discipleship. So there's a crew of people that are, you know, I would say, you know, they're essentially disciples. I mean, they're walking with me and my leadership team. And a lot of them they're just trying to understand, like, what's the next step for me? How do I walk like Jesus in my life? And how do I learn and go through this process? And what I've learned over time is it's definitely a process of studying the Word of God. But it's more importantly, as Jesus said, you know, Jesus didn't say, you know, before he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go study for 5 years and then go into all the world and preach the gospel. He just said, go, right? Now, there's an importance to renew your mind, and you have to do that. But the most important piece is to go and to have experience walking in the power of God. When you do that, you'll understand the truth of this at a different level when you're walking in it. And so the School of Discipleship, most of it is outreach-based. We have a variety of places we go to pray for the sick. We minister to the homeless each week on Saturday mornings to a ministry called Bridge of Angels, Church Under the Bridge. We go there every week, and you just go and be Jesus to these people. You give them the kingdom for a few hours each week. And when you do that, you learn. And so the School of Discipleship is about putting people into situations where they grow, where they have to take responsibility as the disciples did. They have to step into that reality. They have to command things to change. They have to basically wage a warfare against the dark forces of this world. And so the School of Discipleship, we're a little ways from start having our first class. I mean, we're unofficially doing it now. We just don't have all the curriculum and all the videos done. So that's kind of a work in progress as well. So,
amen. Now, what type of miracles have you saw in your ministry?
Well, like I said, we've seen pretty much everything that Jesus saw. I haven't. The only thing I haven't seen so far is someone, you know, come back from the dead. I don't pray for a lot of people for that, so I need to ramp up my own experience when it comes to that. But I'll give you I'll give you a miracle that happened this week. I prayed for. I got called to go into a hospital setting. There was a lady that had been driving a motorcycle, and she had an accident. She had an accident while she was on her motorcycle. She didn't have a helmet on. She, you know, hit her head on the pavement. She had brain damage, swelling in her brain, on a vent tube, and it just, you know, the doctors were saying it just wasn't looking good for her. So I went in and prayed for her on Tuesday, I believe, of this week. And when I went in, I ended up praying for her, praying actually for her husband and for the people in the room. And at that moment in time, you know, she was on a vent, and it, you know, her vitals were just not looking healthy. Well, I got a report actually today saying that everything had changed. That her they'd taken her off the vent. She was breathing on her own. She was in a much better place. Her vitals had improved. Her swelling had gone down in her brain. You know, she's still in the hospital, but everything had, you know, literally taken a complete turn for the better. Over the last 3 days, and the physicians were describing it as something that was, you know, very, very positive. So that's an example that happened, you know, just this week. But I'll give you another example. There was a gentleman that had throat cancer. He had a tumor on his throat, and it was, you know, sticking out. And I was praying. I actually prayed for him on the phone. It was in another state, and I'll tell you, this is you know, how God works. So a lot of times the Lord speaks to me when I'm praying for people, he'll actually, it's like I have two channels going at the same time, and he'll speak to me, and I can discern both channels, and that's just how he does it. So I was sitting in a prayer meeting with eight other people, and I had this man on the phone. I actually never met this man before. I put him on speaker, put the phone in the middle of the table, and you know, I just started started speaking to his, ministering to him and to his wife. And at the end of the conversation, the Lord told me that tomorrow morning he needs to get up and eat eggs, which is rather weird. But so I said that to him, and then I prayed for him, and then we got off the phone. And the people on the, and they were sitting in front of me looked at me like I was crazy. Like, why did you say that? I said, well, the Lord told me to say that to him. And you know, they commented, well, you know, he told us he's on a feeding tube and he hadn't eaten anything by mouth in months. And I said, well, that's what the Lord told me to tell him. So the next morning he woke up, and sure enough, he had no tumor and he ate eggs. And then he called me, and he was super excited and just screaming and yelling on the phone. Actually, they actually left me a message. So when I got the message, we were overjoyed with what we heard with him. So that's another example, and I'll give you a third. So there's a gas station in town that I spend, when I drive in, I get, you know, fuel up at this one station pretty regularly. And every time I go there, the Lord sends someone across my path to pray for. It's almost every single time. So when I get out of the car, I look up, and sure enough, I'll see someone with a brace or a crutch, or it just, you know, they're just there. I just expect it now. So there was a man who was getting gas right next to me, and he got out, and he had a full brace on from his groin all the way down to his ankle. And he said he had an ACL and MCL tear. And so I started getting gas. I walked over to him and said, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and the Lord's going to heal your leg. And he was like, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about, but I have these massive tears, and I'm supposed to have surgery. And I said, no, the Lord's going to heal you. So I prayed for his leg, and I told him to take his knee brace, or his brace off. And he looked at me like I was just totally crazy. And I said, no, just take it off and just test it. Because that's part of what you have to do when you pray for someone. After you get done, you have to get them to test whatever you're praying for, if they can test it. You know, some things are internal and you can't test it. But if you can physically test the problem, you have to test the problem. Because if you don't, then in my opinion, you don't really believe anything happened. I prayed for him, had him take his brace off, and he put some weight on his leg. He said, you know what, it feels a lot better, but it's not 100%. It's, you know, it feels better, and I can put weight on it now. So I prayed again, which it's not a statement of unbelief to pray twice. You just keep commanding that thing. It's like a hammer and a nail, right? You keep hitting that nail until it's flush. If it takes three hits or four hits or five hits, you just keep hitting it until it's flush. I prayed again and had him walk. I prayed again and had him walk, and he was walking more. And then I prayed again, and he started running around the parking lot. So he went from crutches and brace and MCL, ACL tear to completely healed, no pain, running in the parking lot within a minute. So those are just some examples that have happened recently within the last few months. So
that's awesome. Here's a bunch of miracles like that happening. And, you know, the funny thing about, you know, the Lord is that he's always seeing what you can do. It's like he sends these people to you, and I saw this myself, and just like somebody with a hurt leg or something just pops up, and he's like pushing you to do it. And, you know, there's a lot of Christians that's working in the fire, and they don't know whether to go for it or just, you know, ask them to pray, you know, I'll pray at home or something. You don't know how to activate and go to them, and it takes to build up courage to do that, and it's really hard. Now at church or something, it's a whole completely different situation, but when you're in a surroundings where it's just everyday people, you know, you've got to build up that courage to know how to get in contact with these people and talk to them right, where they'll be more open to you. You can't just go and grab her legs, I'm going to pray for it. You know, it takes, you know, a way to get into that. And
that's part of what. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's part of what we teach here is really the practical application of how do you actually approach someone. It's really a multi-step process. How do you approach someone? You know, what do you say when you walk up to them? How do you engage them in that conversation? You know, how do you engage them into a place where you're going to pray for them? How do you pray for them? What do you say? you know, how do you, what's your involvement? What do you touch? Do you touch them? Do you not? You know, there's a lot of, you know, if you're praying a man to a woman or a woman to a man, there's some social rules you want to be aware of. You know, have them test the situation. What do you do if nothing changes right in front of you? All those are things that, you know, we address, you know, and that's what the School of Discipleship will do, is to teach people how to deal with these real life circumstances. Because a lot of ministries, they'll teach you the theological aspects of this, which is very important, but they don't teach you the practical application of it. You have to go learn on your own. And I learned on my own over a period of 7 years how to do this stuff, and I did it strictly by trial and error. I can't tell you how many times I walked by people that I wouldn't pray for because I was afraid, because I didn't know what to say. And the Lord got me over that hump, and the Holy Spirit showed me at times what to say. Now, you know, the Bible says that we have rivers, you know, plural, of living water flowing out of us. And so what I always encourage people to do is just imagine when you get out of bed in the morning that you have this river that's flowing out of you. And so when you're walking around, you know, and living your life, when you walk up to someone, just imagine that river is flowing on to them. And so when that's happening, which is what Jesus was always ready to pray. He was always in a mindset of setting the captives free. Well, that's what you need to be. That's what we need to be doing. As you live your life, just be aware of your situations around you and always be ready to move into that place, just like Jesus was, where you're going to set people free, even if it's just a casual conversation. Be ready for it. Don't turn it on and turn it off. Just leave it on all the time, because these rivers, they never turn off.
That's awesome. It's just an application. I know there's a lot of people who are teaching, you know, there's a few people teaching street ministries, and quite a few people out here trying to learn this. And I know there for a year or two, I was trying to learn this, and I found out, you know, a lot of people take cameras and they like putting it on YouTube and all that stuff to show it. And I actually went with a guy that did this, and on YouTube it looks awful easy to pull out a camera and try to heal somebody, but in real life it's not that easy. Because about the time you pull out that camera, they're like, "What you doing?" You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh man," you know. So it's different, and it's something you've got to grow into and get used to and know how to engage into it. And I've known some ministers myself, they will not do street ministry, but they will do ministry, you know, in church or on a stage. They will do healings all day long, but when it comes street, they won't do it because they just don't have that, you know, the braveness to jump out to that point. But it's kind of like their safety zone, if you know what I'm saying. But what is so amazing, if you read the Gospels, a lot of these miracles that Jesus did was not even in the church. It was on the street. You know, he healed people on the street, and a lot of amazing miracles happened in the street. And, you know, if he did that, the disciples did that, why can't we do that, you know?
Yeah. Amen. Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, Jesus said, you know, go into all the world. He didn't say go into all the churches. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then these signs will follow you. So, you know, the healing ministry, the ministry of getting people's bodies set free, it's obviously very important, and it's you know, theologically correct for us to go do it. But that's a spoke on the wheel. You know, the wheel itself is the salvation of the person you're in front of. And so a lot of times what will happen is they won't listen to you. If you walk up to them and say, you know, try to talk to them about Jesus, if they don't believe, then they're not going to pay attention to you. But if they have pain in their body and you put your hand on them and you command that pain to leave and their body changes, they're going to look at you with these bright eyes like, I don't know what just happened, but now tell me more about your Jesus. Tell me more about what enabled you to put your hands on me and get my body free. And when that happens, you have a captive audience. And so it's a vehicle for us to use as evangelists. Everyone's an evangelist. You know, whether or not you think you are or you're not, if you're a Christian, you're an evangelist, which means you need to be evangelizing someone. If it's your next door neighbor, you know, if it's someone at the mall or someone at the convenience store, you know, you need to be walking in and you need to be looking at them as someone that needs Jesus, right? Because if they don't have Jesus, then they're going to a place that is not a good place. And if that's burning inside of you, you need to be able to give that to them. And the way you can get their attention is through healing their body. And what I've learned over time, I'll summarize it into really one statement. Boldness comes from the fact that it's healing is a fact, number one, as I described earlier. And two, you're not doing the work anyway. It's the spirit living in you that's doing the work. And so it takes the pressure off. It's not, you don't have to perform. There's nothing that you have to do. You can't heal. In the name of Todd doesn't heal anyone, right? In the name of Jesus does. So as you step into that right reality, you just realize, you know what, I'm going to put my hand on them, and I'm going to command their body to change. And the spirit that lives in me, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, is going to touch their body. You got to believe that. You got to say, you know what, that is true. That is real. I believe that. And as I believe that now, this person's body is going to look like that. And when you step into it with that kind of boldness, trust me, things will move. You will see things change in front of you. I'll give you an example. When I first started kind of walking in this, I used to walk around the, you know, different grocery stores, and I'd see someone that needed prayer. And I finally got the urge to walk up to them and say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? And they said, yeah, sure. Well, I said, well, come with me. And we go over to the deli where there was no one around because I was afraid to pray in front of everyone else. Because I was afraid nothing was going to change. Well, guess what? When I did that, nothing changed. Their bodies didn't change. And over time, I learned that you have to be bold, just like Jesus. Jesus didn't try to figure out when to pray for someone. He didn't, you know, not pray for them if there was a crowd. No, he just spoke to situations, and he didn't care what anyone thought that was around him. Well, that's what we're expected to do, too. And quite honestly, the crazier, the more bold you are when it comes to professing the power of God, the more he shows up. It's not scriptural. I'm not quoting the Bible when I say that. That's my experience. My experience is when you step into it with crazy boldness, then you get crazy boldness. That's what happens in front of you. That's people's bodies change. Just like praying in you know, the gas station parking lot for a man with people watching. His body changed instantly. And so there's a function of you not believing if you decide to do it in a secret place versus doing it out in the open in front of everyone. It's almost like you're not sure yourself. And if you're not sure, you're tossed to and fro, you get nothing. So
that's right. And, you know, we was talking about how God puts people in front of you. And I remember in the Word of God where Jesus was preaching and all of a sudden, or in this hut, and all of a sudden this dude, these people rip open the ceiling and drop this one guy right in front of him. And you could just see somebody minister, and all of a sudden somebody dropped down from the rafters, and can you heal him? You know, and it's kind of mind blowing. But that's awesome. But we're expected to do the same thing he did, and we just got to step into the authority and walk out there with it. And you know, there's people out there that does that. And you know, like I said, I saw some people do that, and it's kind of mind-blowing because it throws you out of your comfort zone. And once you get out of your comfort zone, you're sitting there trying to think, you know, everything. The amulet will run so many things through your mind when you're doing this. And the thing of it is, you've got to get used to it and be ready to step into it. Kind of like you said, you know, there for a while, you'd walk around and you let them pass by, but once you got into the boldness and stepped out, you started seeing what the Lord did. And what happened was when you stepped in that full boldness, the Lord stepped up and did his job. He's wanting to represent himself through you. So,
amen.
Yes, that's pretty awesome. But do you have any events in your area that you're getting ready to do?
Well, I teach, as I said before, a monthly, it's one night per month. It's called Equip the Saints. And it's essentially an abridged teaching on the power of God. It's really broken down into three aspects: equip, edify, and send. Equip means there's an equipping piece, kind of this conversation we're having now. So people could sit there and say, you know what? He's equipping me with the Word of God so that I can go do it. There's an edifying piece, which an edifying piece really is basically kicking people out of the nest, convicting them of the truth of what the Great Commission really means for us. Because to be a disciple, it doesn't mean you go sit in a church each week, right? To be a disciple, you have to go and do something with what you know. And then the sending aspect of what I teach is what I just taught on right now, was the practical application. How do you actually go do what the Great Commission tells us to go do? So that is actually our next event is November 14th next month. So we'll be teaching that in a live session in Austin, it's actually not in Austin, but it's in a surrounding community very close to Austin. And then I'll be teaching, you know, for people that are local, I'll be teaching in I teach in a variety of churches, and I'll be teaching twice next weekend, the 25th and 26th, in two different churches in Austin, and both of those will be posted on Facebook as far as locations and times. So
that's awesome, man. Just tell them some way they can get a hold of you, a website or anything, if they would like to contact you.
Yeah, the easiest way is just through email. My email is gant.todd@gmail.com. That's gant.todd@gmail.com. And as I said before, and I'll reiterate now, you know, we take prayer requests basically 24 hours a day. And it doesn't have to be local. You know, as I said with one of the testimonies with the man with the tumor, we pray for people all over the world now, on the phone, text, Skype, whatever vehicle is necessary. Plus, you know, we'll drive around the state as needed to pray for people in hospitals. So if anyone that's listening has a prayer request or has a family with a prayer request or knows someone, you can give them my email. Once again, gant.todd@gmail.com, and reach out, and we'll connect with you and pray with you and expect your situation to change quickly.
Your local area is Texas, right? Houston, Texas?
Correct. Yeah, I live in Austin. So I live in Central Texas. So I live in Texas.
That's cool. Anybody in Texas that really needs him, just take his number there and just give him a call. Any from anywhere, like you said, just give him a call and he'll pray for you. And that's awesome, man. And I was talking to Todd earlier. Maybe we could do a show sometimes with some of the people that, you know, that depends on him and whoever we can call in. We could pray for some people on the show one time. It'd be awesome. But
What I was also going to do, if you would like, is as we get ready to close, I think we may be close, I can just pray. I actually have a YouTube channel. If you just search my name, Todd Gant, on YouTube, I post all the teaching videos that I do on there. But I have testimonies from around the country of people watching those videos, and at the end of the videos, I always pray. And when I pray, people have gotten healed just watching the YouTube video, not live. But just watching the video during the prayer, because you know, the Spirit works in that prayer even if it's recorded. So if it's okay with you, when we get close to closing, I'll pray here, and if anyone listens to this, I'm expecting they're going to get healed just listening to the prayer. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, we do words of knowledge and stuff on here when we get ready to close, so we can both just step in and do that. And we got 6 minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and start right now. At this time, anybody that's sick or has any problems, just go ahead and put your hand right there where that problem is, and just put your hand there. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to come upon us now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just see somebody has a problem with their stomach. I don't know whether it's a liver. I command that liver to be healed now in Jesus' name. I command all infirmity to leave now in Jesus' name. Now, Todd, you can jump in anytime you need. You feel anything, just go ahead and kick in. But, command that liver to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm seeing a neck, somebody's neck. I don't know whether they've got bone issues going on their neck. I command all the spine to be repaired in Jesus' name. Disc be repaired now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just go up and down their back and just repair that neck issue now in Jesus' name. Anything you're getting, Todd?
No, I have not. I was just going to let you kind of flow, and then when you get close in, I'll just pray, you know, kind of a general prayer over everyone.
Okay.
And everything.
Okay. Now, I'm seeing somebody has a headache too, and I command all pain to leave the head. I don't know whether somebody has had trauma in their head before, or they've gotten an accident and they've just had trauma. I command the trauma to leave. I command any spirit of infirmity that's been stuck to their head, is just been causing trauma, headaches. I command it to break loose now in Jesus' name. I command to break loose now in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just fill these people with peace. Peace. Anybody that have any situation, wherever their hand is, I command the Holy Spirit just to access that area now and just bring healing upon them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Todd, you can go ahead and finish this up if you like.
Okay, so yeah, when anyone to touch any part of their body they're having problems with, any part of their body at all, and when they touch the body, I want you to have an expectation. And when I pray in just a second, you know, it's almost like the woman with the issue of blood, right? She had expectation. She came forth, she touched Jesus' garment, and when she touched his garment, she was healed. It had nothing to do with Jesus because he didn't even know it was about her. So in the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every single person that's listening tonight to be healed in the name of Jesus, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Every cell, every organ, every tissue, every system, every bone, every part of their blood, in the name of Jesus. Eyesight, you return. Clarity of eyesight, you return right now in Jesus' name. Hearing, you return. No more hearing aids. Able to hear perfectly in the name of Jesus. Any ligaments, any tendons, or any bones that are damaged right now, there will be heat in those right now with a healing touch right now in Jesus' name. It's back. Every back, every bit of back pain, right now, you go in Jesus' name. Backs, you realign right now in the name of Jesus. Anything written against any person listening to this, any medical report, any issue with their blood, any issue with their body, or any cancer, right now, in the name of Jesus, you bow to the name of Jesus. You can no longer inhabit these people's bodies. Every cell that's inhabited by this cancerous growth is killed, is destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Their bodies are made whole under the sound of my voice right now. It'll be this way, and it will be no other way. Right now, Jesus paid for their healing, and right now it is manifest in their bodies. They will feel it. They will feel a difference. They will be set free. Any demonic oppression that's listening, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. You go and never return in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's a very strong prayer there, Todd. Now, I'd like to thank you, Todd, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to hear your story and about your ministry and all the things that's going on in your ministry. And I'm sure, you know, the Lord is touching many a person through your ministry. And, you know, I'm sure that the Lord is going to grow your ministry and your healing school, and a lot of people is going to really go out there and touch even more people and get more people aware of the power of God. And thanks for coming on the show, Todd.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the invite. And as I said before, I it's a blessing to have, you know, shows and outlets like yours that are promoting Jesus and just the power and the truth of him. So I just speak a blessing over this program and over you personally as a man and over your family. Your body be healed in the name of Jesus, and finances roll in to support everything you're trying to do for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen. I'd like to tell everybody, if anybody would like to listen to this, it's going to be on podcast for a long time. Just go to his page on Facebook and click on it. Listen to it anytime you want to. Just look up the Healing Light Show, Reverend Stan. Go straight to the Healing Light page and find Todd Gant and the show I'm doing with Todd Gant. And just click on it. Listen to it anytime you wish. You can download it on your iPod, anything like that. So it will be in circulation, so you can listen to it anytime you want to. If anybody that would like to listen to this, just share it on Facebook or just let them know about it, and it'll be there for them. And we'll see everybody Wednesday. God bless every one of y'all.
Been down, but all I know, something had to give. something had to give. 'Cause living my life so wild and free, finally caught up. Oh, it left me broken, left me hopeless. But that's where I'm at, Jesus. And in one moment, everything changed. 2 hours got washed away. Where mercy found me. My Savior's arms were open wide, and I fell in love for the very first time. Where mercy found me. Where mercy found me. All those days and all those doubts, they don't seem to matter now. All I need. Oh, His grace is all I need. And the chains that I was in before, well, they don't hold me anymore. His love has rescued me.
Without the Lord, we could never make it without the Lord. We can only try to fake it, 'cause when we think we don't need Him, all we gonna do is wallow in our sin. And oh yes, my friend, there is no life without the Lord. Don't be afraid to share this wonderful love with people everywhere, for God loves everyone.